Have you ever noticed how fiercely we defend our opinions, even when evidence suggests we might be wrong? James O'Brien's exploration of intellectual humility strikes at the heart of our cultural moment. In a world increasingly defined by polarization and certainty, O'Brien offers something revolutionary: the freedom that comes with admitting you might be wrong. His journey began not through philosophical reflection, but personal crisis. When someone he deeply loved became ill, he discovered his arsenal of certainties was worse than useless. It was actively harmful. He was preaching resilience when what they needed was genuine understanding and proper medical support. For much of his life, O'Brien operated under the delusion that absolute self-confidence would make the world bend to his will. This weaponized resilience, the refusal to yield, to question, to doubt, wasn't the asset he imagined, but a dangerous liability preventing genuine growth. Our discourse has become footballified. We judge actions not by merit, but by which team performs them. This tribal mentality makes changing positions nearly impossible. How can you admit error when your entire identity is wrapped up in being on the right side? Our deepest convictions often stem from unprocessed childhood experiences. Between ages 10 and 13, O'Brien endured regular beatings from his headmaster. Years later, he defended corporal punishment with, "It never did me any harm," motivated by both love for his father, questioning felt like betraying his memory, and genuine belief he emerged unharmed. This pattern explains why damaging behaviors persist across generations. People struggle to abandon prejudiced views when doing so feels like betraying beloved parents. Children who endure brutality develop what therapists call a survival personality, protective layers that work so effectively we may never recognize how defined we've become by self-protection. O'Brien couldn't see how his education had shaped him. He'd built elaborate justifications for corporal punishment, creating an entire policy framework to avoid confronting the pain and humiliation he experienced. The mind constructs complex structures to evade simple truths. The journey toward intellectual humility often begins with therapy, a process many still dismiss as weird pseudoscience. O'Brien approached his first session without enthusiasm, merely desperate to help his struggling family. The premise was that childhood wrongs cause many adult problems, with the first challenge being to stop denying these wrongs. For trauma survivors, admitting suffering feels like surrendering to whatever hurt you. O'Brien realized his failures as a husband and father might stem from being adopted, sent away, and abused, experiences that caused him to lock away his real self and construct a survival personality. As part of healing, O'Brien wrote cathartic, unsent letters to authority figures who traumatized him. These revealed deep anger from childhood experiences of abuse, betrayal, and manipulation, showing how even minor traumas leave lasting scars. Discovering in his mid-40s that he'd been completely wrong about himself proved surprisingly easy to accept. The knot of fear in his stomach wasn't actually part of him, but a scar that could heal. The concept of echo chambers has become a weapon to dismiss opposing views rather than engage with them. Those who accuse others of living in echo chambers rarely examine their own opinions. True growth comes from listening to different experiences, not just opinions. O'Brien learned this through stop-and-search policing, where he initially supported the practice despite having no personal experience with it. Malcolm Gladwell changed his thinking by explaining that crime is tightly coupled to specific locations. Often one block may have 150 police calls, while the adjacent block has only 2. This means aggressive policing is appropriate only in the tiny percentage of neighborhoods where crime is endemic. When asked how he processes being wrong, Gladwell said he welcomes it. "It's evidence that I'm human. The process of revisiting what you used to believe is exhilarating, a way of remaining young, of maintaining a sense of being surprised." His willingness to change positions based on evidence contrasts with leaders who stoke division while resisting facts. Imagine if we all approached being wrong as an opportunity for growth. How might our public discourse transform? Our blindness to privilege often becomes clear in unexpected moments. Despite his liberal credentials, O'Brien patronized a caller of East Asian heritage who mentioned the lack of diversity at his radio station. He cited commercial imperatives and suggested people of color elected not to work here, effectively dismissing her lived experience. He realized later he had reacted defensively because her observations challenged his self-perception. He had rejected the notion of white privilege, feeling he hadn't received the career success he deserved. He failed to understand that privilege doesn't guarantee success, it simply means starting higher up the mountain than others. After receiving criticism, O'Brien called the woman back on air to apologize. She explained how people of color are dehumanized through media stereotyping and lack of representation. She highlighted how predominantly white gatekeepers create barriers for diverse voices. This conversation revealed that supporting equal opportunity means actively creating space for underrepresented voices if we want media that truly reflects our population's diversity. We all maintain contradictions where we know we're wrong yet believe we're right. O'Brien examines three of his own: prejudice against visible tattoos on professionals, support for fee-paying schools, and belief in marriage's superiority. His tattoo prejudice began shifting after meeting a pierced nurse whom patients called an angel. His indefensible position on marriage as the gold standard stems from his adoption story. His biological mother gave him up partly because she was unmarried, unconsciously linking marriage with better parenting. Though O'Brien understands selective education perpetuates inequality, he remains hypocritical about private schools. Having benefited from fee-paying education himself, he provides his children the same advantages, admitting he isn't principled or morally strong enough to sacrifice their futures for his politics. When we can't change our behavior, acknowledging hypocrisy becomes the next best option. There's something powerfully human about recognizing our contradictions rather than denying their existence. The journey toward intellectual humility isn't about abandoning conviction, but holding beliefs with open hands rather than clenched fists. Changing our minds demonstrates strength, the courage to grow beyond our limitations. Our toxic attitudes toward others often stem from buried pain about ourselves. O'Brien admits defending newspapers out of tribal loyalty while ignoring the industry's lawlessness, and dismissing anti-Semitism by failing to understand how Jewish persecution remains viscerally present rather than distant history. The mechanisms behind trivial misconceptions mirror those behind serious errors, like supporting corporal punishment or racial profiling. Our inability to empathize with different experiences frequently stems from unexamined personal traumas. What if we approach disagreement as an opportunity for connection rather than combat? Admitting wrongness matters infinitely more than appearing right. When we embrace intellectual humility, we change not just our minds, but our lives and the lives around us. True wisdom may lie not in how much we know, but in how willing we are to learn.